Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained procrastination in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister John Key, is good for the economy, because now everybody can snap up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Jeff Darty, and his website is imnck.com. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Vinny. It is really an honor and a privilege to be with you here tonight.
If you say so. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do, Jeff?
Well, I have a somewhat of an interesting background. I spent 20 years as a Pentecostal evangelist, came up with folks like Jimmy Swaggart and did that again for 20 years. After that, my wife decided that she didn't want to be married anymore, and that brought that to a screeching halt. And the last 10 years, Vinny, have been kind of a journey through spirituality, a journey through actually waking up to some of the information that you are so adept at bringing out. And now we've started IMNCK, and our goal is to help people wake up spiritually, and we let you help folks wake up politically and socially. So in a nutshell, that's what we're all about. That's what we're doing.
So what is the kind of reality and thing of that nature that you would like people to wake up to? What are some of the most important things that you've discovered?
Well, the biggest thing that I've discovered is, you know, you're very adept at talking about the control situations that are being formulated upon us by political parties, by the New World Order, by things of that nature. And what people really don't realize is that there is a parallel control template that has been forced upon us by religious elements. And in fact, Vinny, I would submit that it was the religious template that served as the basis for the social, political, and cultural template that we're now seeing. And in fact, I have a book coming out that's going to get to that very thing. So what we're trying to do is get people to wake up, to create themselves, to be authentic within themselves rather than conforming to this control template that's being forced on us, not only socially, but also spiritually.
So basically, here's the premise of religion and government and culture. It's based upon belief. Usually belief in kind of authority figures, like this person is culturally experienced. They're a fashionista of something description. I have to follow what they say. This person is a politician and he was once a lawyer and a Wall Street banker and so on and so forth. Therefore, I can trust his economic sound judgment. This person is a priest. Therefore, he probably is really nice and friendly and won't rape me. It's all BS from the same system, the same cut of cheese, as it were.
Absolutely. Vinny, what it's like when you go to church, when you go to school, when you go to vote, it's like, I don't know if you remember this, but in the old days they used to have those styrofoam heads that they would put wigs on and things. And you go into church, you go into school, you go into vote, and they stick a funnel in the top of your head, and they pour in their pre-digested, pre-constituted, regurgitated beliefs, and we're judged by how effective we are at effectively regurgitating these as accurately as possible. That's how you succeed in school, that's how you succeed in religion, and that's how you succeed in the rat race and the social stigma. And I realized that one day in Bible college. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a second, I'm listening to this guy who was taught by another guy, who was taught by another guy, who was taught by another guy. I'm getting fourth, fifth generation regurgitated thoughts and beliefs. I'm like a baby bird opening my mouth, and the mama bird's regurgitating into my mouth what her mama did. And it's gross, but the grossest thing is that it's real. It's the world that we live in, Ben.
Yeah, well, it's the intellectual feeding system, kind of like the human centipede. You ever see that movie or hear about it? Where a guy sews people's mouth to the other. Yeah, well, a guy sews like three people together, okay? Mouth to ass, all right? And that's basically the. That's, it's a horrific movie. Like, I actually had to stop it at certain points and just go, all right. And that's basically how sick the current paradigms of cultural chieftains and things of that nature really make me. They make me freaking sick. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, Phil, last night, and I talked to him for 2.5 hours. He was not in a good way. He's an occasional listener to the show, and I spent that time with him on the phone. And one thing came out of the phone conversation that I'll never forget: how do people get rich in this society? Incidentally, the way to get rich is either here's the myth, that you work really hard, or you inherit it. Okay, so those are two legitimate ways to get rich. That's the myth. Here's the reality. Fraud and crime in general is the way to get rich. Manipulating people into giving you their money and defrauding them. That's actually the real way to create obscene wealth. And sure enough, I don't think there's really a person on this earth today who has $1 billion+ who made it all 100% honestly. That's just the theory.
Absolutely.
I could be wrong.
And you think about it, Vinny, the church operates in exactly the same way.
Could you elaborate?
Well, you're talking about how the society says, you know, you either have to, you know, steal it or bamboozle out of somebody in order to get rich and to get wealthy. And when you're talking about the religious paradigms, the dominant religious paradigms, it's all driven by getting that offering. As a Pentecostal evangelist, I knew that, you know, more than most do, because it was my job to come into a church and help raise up their funds. And, you know, I blow in for a week, blow up and blow out is what they used to say. And you think about the things that are going on in that church. The divorce rate among the American church is higher than it is in the non-church population. The scandals are replete, not just with the Catholics, but through the Protestants and every other denomination. The world of religion does not work even within the church, and yet we're being sold the bill of goods that if you don't give your money, if you don't conform to what we're saying, they've got the golden ticket. You can't get to this place, you know, called heaven, that's pie in the sky and the sweet by and by after you die. So they really are, I would submit to you, they are just as bad as any other gangster. They're just as bad as any other mobster. They're just as bad as any other slick snake oil salesman, and they are selling something that is broken, something that doesn't work, and they're holding eternity over your head if you don't cough up and pay up and show up.
Okay. Well, how exactly do they accomplish this? Because many people would probably wake up to that reality and leave the church. Did you notice much of this phenomenon going on, or were most people easily taken in and stayed until it destroyed them?
Well, Vinny, you know this. It's just the same in your world as it is over here in the United States. Everybody wants to believe in something. And I believe, even though I'm not a Pentecostal evangelist anymore, everybody, we are a spiritual being. I've seen pictures of you with David Icke, and he's very adept at saying that we are a spiritual being having a physical experience. And at some level and at some point in your life, maybe it's lying down in the bed late at night crying yourself to sleep. Maybe it's when you're sitting in the corner office and you look out over it and realize you've got $1 billion, but you're empty on the inside. Everybody at some point in their life, Vinny, I believe, realizes that they have what I call a God-shaped hole in their life, or a divinity-shaped hole in their life. And it's a constant search for people to find something to fill this hole. And I think religion is coming to the end of its run because they've tried the churches, they've tried the evangelists, they've tried the televangelists, they've tried, you know, Protestant religion, they've tried the Catholics, they've tried everything, but they're realizing that religion is a snare and a racket, and they're going to have to look not without to all the buildings and the cathedrals, but they're going to have to look within. And remember, some guy named Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. And I think that's what we're seeing, Vinny, is we're seeing people are getting their focus off of out here, and they're starting to get their focus on to in here. And that's what I'm attempting to do in some small way is to help people learn to create themselves in authenticity.
Mm. Well, they've tried everything, but have they been tried in state courthouses?
No, that's the priests and the preachers and the pastors.
Oh, right, that's right. You throw them a piece of meat and then suddenly everybody thinks the massive scam and global pedophile ring is gone because this one guy who abused a few children has been taken out and gone to prison.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, it's smoke and mirrors then in its entirety. So let me say, because my sister's an atheist and she just... Anything about religion, like, you know how certain people wake up to conspiracy theories because of their certain interests and their own predication. She's waking up to the conspiracy theories because of her predication of the religion and what she thinks of this. But I don't agree with atheism, and I still believe that there's some kind of higher spiritual being. And even if I can't provide evidence for it, I can provide evidence that simply having a belief in a higher power is in fact beneficial to your well-being. And even your survival rate, which I found particularly interesting. So inherently, just being an atheist and not believing in God means that you die faster.
Right.
Or being involved with the church. But the other element here is, what exactly is God? What is your belief structure leading to? How are you learning about this entity? Okay, and do you have any power? Do you have any choice? Because there was some religious sects who believe in predetermination, complete fate. Everything's your fate. Everything's predetermination. You got no freaking choice. It doesn't matter. And those people lose motivation because they can't be bothered. It's like, oh, I can't change anything. What's the point? I don't get that mentality. It doesn't work. It's dangerous. So what is God to you, Jeff?
Vinny, that's the eternal question, isn't it? And I had the benefit of not only having seen the proverbial man behind the curtain, but I used to be the man behind the curtain. I used to be the guy pulling the strings, the emotional strings, and pulling the purse strings. So I come from a place of knowledge and understanding on that. And what is God? I think that religion has got us to such a place that we are so warped in our perceptions that we're looking for the long bearded guy sitting up on top of a mountain somewhere. We're looking for Charlton Heston as God. But I think the great reality and the great revelation and the great realization that's coming along now, Vinny, more than ever, is that we are beginning to realize that God is not out there. God is in here. And what God is more of a energy. God is more of a vibration. God is more of a frequency. God is more of a universal power and energy that resides in each and every one of us, rather than being an entity or being that's located on some planet or some mountaintop somewhere in the world. And we're beginning to understand when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in you, that divinity is within you, that he really meant it. And that is within each of us. And as we join together, we begin to discover the reality and the totality of God. That being said, I do believe there is a Genesis being somewhere that started the whole thing rolling. But we're talking about universal energy. We're talking about universal power. We're talking about universal togetherness. There is a little piece of it in all of us, and I always say no one's free till we're all free, and until we all get back together, we're not going to be able to realize the totality of divinity. We're not going to be able to realize the identity of God until we get all the pieces of God back together and working in a cohesive manner.
Mm. Well, when you're talking about there about the basic structure of the universe and things of that nature, and that's basically what God is, what it reminded me of is geometry and mathematics. That's all the universe is completely built from top to bottom, as if there is some kind of divine plan that equalizes absolutely the existence of everything in every way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's all got a structure. And that's and who came up with that structure? You know, I don't know. But I think that it's somebody a frack load smarter than me, probably a lot more powerful. And you were talking about this being, okay, a being that created the universe. I'm wondering whether or not the universe even had a Big Bang, because the people who postulated this Big Bang theory were employees of the church.
They were indeed. And that's the great thing about it, Vinny. The great thing about it is that Jeff Daugherty can't figure it out. Vinny Eastwood can't figure it out. Because, you know, maybe not somebody like us, but somebody less moral than us, if they could figure it out, they would bottle it, they would license it, they would sell it, and they'd probably sell it for a high price. So we'd be right back into the whole merchandising of faith and merchandising of religion. And I think it's almost divinely ordered that we can't figure it all out in this life. And the bottom line is, Vinny, you talked about the mote in someone's eye or the splinter. If we spend the time creating ourselves authentically, then we don't have time to worry about our brothers and sisters and people, you know, outside of ourselves. If we just create ourselves with authenticity and then act towards others with authenticity, that's the way that we're going to find and see the face of God.
You know, the word divine comes to mind. And I don't know about you, Jeff, but I have met many people who, in my opinion, are simply divine, really kind, really honest, really decent, go out of their way to help me whenever I need help. And that, to me, is an expression of God through another person who is real, who I can touch, who I can feel, who I can hug, who I can kiss.
That, and I would submit to you, Vinny, those are the authentic people.
Yeah. And life is not about trying to go out and abolish psychopaths and try and go to war with them and things of that nature. Actually, life is about getting those scum the frack out of your life and trying to find the people who are authentic so you can live your life with them in peace.
Absolutely.
You know, we're plastered with this war mentality, this us versus them, this black versus white. But it's actually like, hey, mate, fighting is not a good way to live your life. And it can kill you just as much as you can kill somebody else. Don't do it, okay? Find somebody who's decent, honest, and caring, and loving, and so on and so forth. And then suddenly, you don't have to worry about psychopathic scumbaggery because you're not affected by it. We'll be right back with Jeff Daugherty. Jamming and peanut buttering. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And levity also helps provide relief from your imminent doom, as it turns out. My very special guest is Jeff Daugherty. You may have heard his music album, Daugherty Rock, that he did with Sean Paul. So anyway, we're getting into this whole discussion of religion, spirituality, what is God, and things of that nature. And you know, I got to say, I have a lot of respect for Christians. You know, and I was just thinking about this like the other weekend. I was with my mate Mike, and we were making some music, and I was just kind of telling him about how just the word Jesus makes me feel like it actually makes me feel better for some reason just to say the word Jesus. Why is that? And I was just thinking about this, like we're talking about mathematics as well, sacred geometry, and also that occurs to me, frequency.
Absolutely.
So that means that there's something in that name, there's something in the word that actually connotes some form of frequency which is beneficial to the, a human, right?
Absolutely, Vinny. I think you're spot on with that. everything is energy. And I think it starts even before you hear the word Jesus and then carries on after that. Because what we don't always realize is that our thoughts are also things, and our thoughts also produce energy. So when you say Jesus or you hear Jesus, that promotes good thoughts and harmonious thoughts in your mind, which puts out harmonious energy. And, you know, I believe in the law of attraction. When you're putting out harmonious energy is coming back to you. So you just start a nice little cycle of good feeling. You start a nice little cycle of blessing, if you want to use a religious word. But you're absolutely correct. There is a frequency that is enacted by saying the name Jesus. And that not only brings peace and comfort to those that like the name, but to unbalanced energies that are in opposition to that name, it brings an equal discomfort as well. So you're exactly right. It is definitely frequency, and it's definitely energy that we're talking about.
Yeah, and going off on a tangent here, there's been reports, a number of them, hundreds if not thousands of reports of UFO abductees. You've heard about the phenomenon of sleep paralysis, right, where people are paralyzed in their bed and they can't freaking move, and there's gray aliens around them and stuff like that, and they abduct them and take them off. Well, there's heaps and heaps of reports coming out that these people will be sitting there, they can't move, and they say the word Jesus, and the creatures around them suddenly go, ah, and they disappear and go away. And it gave rise to the belief that the alien phenomenon means that these creatures are actually part demon and they can't actually handle it, sort of like a vampire will recoil at the face of a cross.
Absolutely. I have heard, you know, much about that. And again, you're talking to a Pentecostal evangelist. I'm a guy that has used the name of Jesus to, you know, what people, you know, if I'm just going to talk in that paradigm, to cast out demons, you know, to heal the sick. Never raised the dead, but had witch doctors floating up in the air and used the name of Jesus to knock them down out of the air. So I've seen a lot of things happen at the name of Jesus. And I think with the alien abduction, it certainly is, you know, a helpful name as well. David Icke said something very interesting about that, though. He said that, I forget where I saw this, he said that when you're in that sleep paralysis, that normally means you're coming back out of the astral realm and you're kind of frozen and you can't say anything. And when you come out of the paralysis, it's at the end, you say Jesus and the beings were leaving anyway. So it's kind of a false paradigm, he thinks. So there's a lot of interesting things down that tangent that you brought up.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'd like it if you could elaborate on certain miraculous things that you've seen. You said somebody was floating and you managed to bring him down with the name of Jesus.
I'll share that story with you. It's probably arguably one of my best evangelist stories. I was just a young preacher, probably 25 or 6, and we were literally hacking through the jungle in South America. I was with one of our senior preachers, and we went and preached to this group of, you know, natives, classic bone in their nose, grass skirts. You know, we had a building built that was open on the sides and just thatched on the top. And there's about maybe 200 of them in this compound. And the first couple of nights, you know, we had just a few, and then we started to catch our momentum, and it was filling up. And we were loving it because all these natives, you know, at that time the paradigm was they were getting saved. And my buddy was preaching one night, and I'm sitting there watching, looking out the back, and in walks this guy, Vinny, with the big, tall headdress, with the big scepter, and I thought, oh no, it's the witch doctor. And of course, none of these guys spoke English, and he walks up right in the middle of my friend's sermon and says, I'm going to show you power in perfect English. This Jesus has no power. I'm going to show you power. So I'm taken aback. He lays down on the ground, and he starts to float, Vinny. Out in the middle of the jungle, no wires, no nothing. He's floating. He got about 2 feet off the ground. I was ready to give him the name of Jesus and let him have it. And my buddy says to me, no, wait. So he got about 4 feet up in the air. And my buddy says, no, wait. Vinny, he got a full 6 feet up in the air floating. He was levitating. My friend turns to me and he says, okay, Jeff, now. And I went into classic Pentecostal evangelist mode. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And he fell from 6 feet high down to that dirt. Boom, the dust went up. The wind was knocked out of him. When he got his breath back, he couldn't speak English anymore. But every single one of those folks in that village, to a man, woman, child, they all came, they gave their hearts to Jesus, and that shows you the power of that frequency that you're talking about, whether it pulled him out of the astral realm, whether it pulled us out of the astral realm, whether it was really a guy floating himself and the name of Jesus broke the demonic power. However you look at it, your earlier point is accurate. The name of Jesus is at a frequency that does have power and can do big things to those that believe in it and even to those that are in opposition to it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this as well, because the Jews call him Yeshua, and it's the same thing, isn't it?
I found the name Yeshua to be more effective than the name Jesus.
That was his real original name, or the original Hebrew pronunciation, and something of that nature, wasn't it?
Absolutely, Greek or Jesus is really a Greek. It's an English translation of a Greek translation of Hebrew. So if Jesus walked in the room today, he'd say hi. You know, you'd say hi, I'm Vinny Eastwood. He'd say hi, Yeshua. How you doing? So I found the name Yeshua to be more powerful and effective in my spiritual work than the name Jesus, interestingly enough.
What about the name Joshua? Is that the same thing?
It's very, very close. You know, it's really a matter of pronunciation. Is it Yeshua? Is it Yahashua? It's all the very same name, really. And Vinny, the most important thing, and I'm sure you understand this, and a lot of your listeners understand this, it's the real thing is the intention behind the name and the intention that's attached to that name. So Jesus, still a good name, done a lot of quote-unquote miracles in the name of Jesus. Yeshua came to me to be a more powerful name, maybe because I had more powerful intention with it, knowing that it was his original name versus one that was a little bit of a bastardization of a Hebrew name through multi-translations.
All right. So have you ever managed to curse somebody by uttering the name David Rockefeller?
You know, I've never tried it, but if I was a guy that wanted to curse, I would do it. I know some witch doctors. I'll suggest
David Rockefeller compels you. David Rockefeller compels you.
Or maybe Al Gore. I mean, that even sounds like Al Gore. Al Gore.
It sounds like some kind of assistant of Dr. Frankenstein. Al Gore, get me some more heads.
And he looks like an assistant to Dr. Frankenstein.
He practically is Dr. Frankenstein's monster.
He is.
You know, he combines American presidential material with the ultimate stigma of a climate cultist, you know, and some perverse dead body waking back to life to come and curse mankind with carbon taxes.
Well, Vinny, the current incarnation of Al Gore has everything but the bolts on his throat, I think, to qualify as the regenerated Frankenstein monster.
Yeah, I remember way back in the day, I think it was one of the very first shows I ever went on with James Burns from Freedom Files, and we were talking about, you know, Batman villains and who in the U.S. administration kind of occupies these kind of Batman villains. Like, if you have a look at, say, Obama, he's obviously Harvey Two-Face, you know, because he's got that one... It's got that one persona than the other, and somebody else said he was more like Ra's al Ghul or something like that, and I can't even remember that particular character. But, you know, I said then, you know who's Mr. Freeze? It's totally Al Gore.
I can see that, absolutely.
Well, and again, the whole mentality behind... shall we say, relating certain characters to people in real life, I think it's really one of the great things about art is that you can take from real life and have a look at who actually they can turn into, provided they have a little bit of a caricature about them. And I can't listen to Obama speak without laughing my ass off now. Not because of me thinking of him as Harvey Two-Face or anything like that. But it's just the fact that everything that he says is a complete and utter lie. You know, like, I want to help the economy. I want to create jobs. I want to make sure that America is not destroyed by ruthless criminal banker scum, and I'm going to get out the lobbyists. Stop it. Stop it, God, you're killing me. No, really.
That's absolutely true. And now I will have to join you in that. I won't be able to listen to him speak without laughing. And I try to avoid it at all costs anyway, listening to him speak.
Yeah. I mean, the State of the Union address just gets me in a state of laughter. It's unbelievable.
Obscene. It is.
It's obscene. Now, see, again, we were talking, in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. So we were talking about the nature of deception and how that basically, if there's an institution that it exists in any way, shape, or form, currently on the earth today, if it's an institution, it's probably corrupt. You know, it's probably based on lies. So, therefore, institutions in general are bad. And what people try to do is they have this idea called, what's the word, establishment. Okay, now, establishment means it's solid. Okay, it means that it's there forever and so on and so forth. And the people call the current government that we've got or the current culture that we've got the established religion or the established government or the establishment of this, that, and the other nature, the establishment media. They're not establishments. Okay, they're not solid whatsoever. If anything, they're emergent. They're constantly going through a radical cycle of change. And I believe that change is for the worse. They're not established as yet. Heaven forbid the day that they really are, when they have total dominance over all life.
Scary thought.
Imagine. Just think about it for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Close your eyes and picture a future where everything that you hold dear, family, love, caring, generosity, no longer exists, and every single action that you ever take in your entire life is not of your own volition, but because you are forced to under pain of death. And you constantly fear death. And you, one thing that you fear more than death is freedom. That's the world that we will have if we do not stop these so-called establishments from growing in power and influence. They must be brought down and prevented from ever rising again. Is there some kind of deeply religious thought or sentiment that comes to mind there? Jeff?
Vinny, I think that you're right on, and I know I think we're coming up on a break. What I'd really like to do, I think that you do a great job talking about how the establishment now, political, social, cultural, is taking over. I believe that I've discovered, quote unquote, the original template of that takeover, and it was established back in about the year 30 AD or so by a fellow that goes by the name of the Apostle Paul. And I've got a book coming out in a couple of weeks that shows the template that he laid out, and it's still a template that is being built upon now. And these establishments that you speak of started all the way back there with guys named Paul and Nero and Caiaphas and Pilate, all the way back to Alexander the Great, working together and building this matrix, as David Icke would say, that we find ourselves rushing towards with increased speed and fervency.
Well, I would like to divulge into that plan and get your explanation for it. And also, we'd like to promote that book and get people to read it and tell them where they can find it as well. My very special guest is Nick Darty. IamNCK.com is his website. And we'll be right back after this short break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Boogie it down in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. My very special guest, is Jeff Daddy. And could you tell the audience that little Schwarzenegger experience you had?
Absolutely. I had occasion to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger in Las Vegas. We were actually sharing a cigar together. And at the time, I had a very big interest in bodybuilding, was doing some amateur contest. And I asked him, I said, Arnold, how much milk do you drink? And he looked at me and he said, I don't drink milk. Milk is for babies.
Classic Schwarzenegger. Now, I was just wondering, he's like the master of one-liners, isn't he?
He really is, and that's not just in the movies. The man's very personable, and it's a quip a minute with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Governator.
Yeah, especially when he's wearing his Skull and Crossbones SS belt that he inherited from his grandfather.
Yes.
Yeah, so you got to love that. You got to love that Nazism and fascism. Anyway, we were talking about 30 AD and the plan for the Matrix of the world. Would you explain exactly what this plan is?
Absolutely. And in June, I have a book coming out that literally is about 30 years of research in the making. The book is called Apostle Paul Antichrist. And what the book tells about is how this man, Saul of Tarsus, who became later known as the Apostle Paul, how he took the original message of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, that we've been talking about, and totally hijacked it and morphed it into something that started out as a centripetal power to knit together the Roman Empire, and has now come down through the centuries as the template, I believe, for control and consolidation and for implementation of empire and keeping people under control and under enslavement and doing what they're supposed to do while the governmental authoritarian structures are put into place and put into power, fueled in great part by the ecclesiastical structures that not only give them their authority, but also receive authority from them.
So do you believe that religion was created by the Roman Empire in order to control people, like the Ten Commandments, don't kill, don't lie, don't covet your neighbor's wife, and stuff, and something like that, also incidentally means you don't resist government?
It does. I don't think religion was created to do that, Vinny. I think the modern incarnation of what we call Christianity was invented to do that. Because if you look at, and this is where it started for me, if you look at the teachings and practices and words of Jesus, and then look at the teachings and practices and words of the Apostle Paul, they are diametrically opposed to one another. They are like two rams butting heads. Jesus was coming really to bring people to the place where, you know, he had a simple message. He said, repent. And what that really means is change your mind and believe the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom, he went on to say, means that you are not born a sinner like you've been taught. You are born with divinity inside you. So change your mind about being a dirty, rotten sinner. Look inside to find that divinity and become authentic to other people. The Roman Empire didn't want that because it's very hard to build an empire with people that are free thinking and people that are looking to create themselves. So along comes the Apostle Paul with a familiar history all the way back to the feet of Alexander the Great. His family was the tent makers that supplied the Roman Empire with their tents, so he had great wealth. He was a childhood friend of Nero. He was trained in the temple at Jerusalem by their greatest rabbi, and all of these people saw the crisis that Jesus was bringing in. People were starting to follow Jesus. They weren't following the temple anymore. They weren't following the Romans anymore. They were starting to be too free and independent. So they sent Paul in, and what he basically did was hijack that message of Jesus. He orchestrated the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He killed James the Apostle by his own hand, and he knew that the destruction of Jerusalem was coming, didn't tell anybody, and he lived out his life as a valet to Nero in Rome. And the funniest thing about this all, Vinny, is all in the New Testament, a little bit encoded, but it's there for anybody with eyes to read. And I've written this as a novel, a Dan Brown-style Da Vinci Code novel but it's all there, it's all real, and it's shocking, and it will help us to realize, holy beep, we've been duped.
Duped for thousands of years, quite literally.
Absolutely.
Now, as far as I know, the Roman Empire's structure that you say would give them total control didn't work. It was an ideology, and eventually the empire collapsed. Or did they collapse the empire intentionally in order to conceal that system so that they could come back and reinvent the wheel and do it again to us?
Well, in my opinion, Vinny, they played the Paul card a little bit too late, because the real thing that collapsed the Roman Empire, according to my studies, was it was spread over such a vast land mass, and you had so many differences of people, so many different cultures. They all had their own, you know, holidays, a lot of them their own languages, a lot of them their own celebrations, and it was so difficult to get them into a cohesive unit. So what Paul did was really rather ingenious. He said, let's create, like Ronald Reagan's big tent, let's create a big tent religion. Let's take all of these individual deities that all of these countries have. Let's just call them saints. Let's take all of their temples of all their disparate gods and let's just rechristen them as cathedrals. Let's take all of their holidays and let's turn them into quote-unquote Christian holidays, so you don't have people that have to change anymore, and you have people that come together under common saints, under common one common God. You know, you can still worship your God. Now he's just a saint. And it just happened a little bit too late for the old Roman Empire. But if you look around today, Vinny, with the Roman Catholic Church at the head, it could be argued that the Roman Empire is still with us and that it really has worked, and they're still trying to get it established, as you said, but they've done a pretty doggone good job with it.
Okay. And so what brought down the Roman Empire is landmass and diversity, essentially. Too much to control, too large an area. That was over a very small portion of the globe by comparison to how much control the New World Order has today. It would seem to me an impossible task to literally control the entire planet, lock, stock, and barrel. And I think that the same fate which befell the Romans will befall the New World Order and the Rockefeller types, wouldn't it? Eventually.
Vinny, I think you're absolutely right, and that's the one thing that I always try to bring out is even though it looks bad, even though there are a lot of bad things happening, even though we are under attack, they will lose, and I think they will lose because of people like you that are waking up, people like me, and you know, hopefully people like me that are helping to wake people up to the spiritual side of this. And I think there's just too many of us, Vinny, and with the internet and with folks like yourselves, we're becoming too well informed, and it's just not going to work in the end. But that only comes to pass if we do decide to turn off American Idol and turn off the NFL and everything else and actually stand up and do something about it. We, I think, can win this. We will win this, but not without action.
Well, yeah, you're meant to be doing something about it, and I have to scream and shout it. The world is not a frickin' spectator sport, you know? no more. Okay, you can't sit on the sidelines and sit back and do nothing, you know? And I think you talked about me waking people up. I'm not sure if I've woken anybody up. And in truth, it's not my intention at all, Jeff. I don't, you know, it's irrelevant to me whether or not people wake up or not. It's not my job. It's their job to wake themselves up. The only thing I'm doing really here is to speak to people who are already awakened, who are incredibly stressed out and have immense pain and suffering caused by the possession of this knowledge that everything is not as it seems. It destroys your life. It destroys your relationships with people. It destroys everything that you once held to be true. And my goal is simply to help people deal with that fact. After they've woken up, then they need to have a way of getting out of bed, because that's what you do after you wake up, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I stand corrected, but I would submit to you that through your videos and through your your archives that to go Reagan-esque again, you are promoting some trickle-down awakening as well as helping those that are awakened.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that I'm helping people because they tell me, you know, Vinny, you helped me. Vinny, you really helped me to realize this, that, or the other, or whatever. And I was just like, well, maybe I helped, but you were. I only showed you the door. You're the one who walked through it.
And that's the way it has to be.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like when you're trying to go wake people up, it's like in sales. I got this real bad sense of rejection, you know, when somebody wouldn't buy what I was selling them. And so I don't like selling anymore, okay? And instead, I like the old the information grenade approach. You pull the pin, you throw the information in there, and then you walk away, and you let it blow up in their face. You know, escape the blast radius. Because often what happens is you try to wake people up and you're trying to force a reaction out of them. You know what happens? Cognitive dissonance comes in and they wind up hating you, the person who was trying to help them. You frickin' idiot.
I had an exact same situation and realization in preaching. I was trying to get people saved, trying to get people right. And I had felt like the divine God tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, look, even if they do it because you said so, that's not enough. I want them to do it because they've heard from me. So I had a very same situation and a realization that you've had, Vinny, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do now is pull that pin, let the information go. I tell people I don't give you answers anymore. I just hopefully help you raise questions.
Yeah, that's right. Figuring things out for yourself is the only freedom anybody really has. Use that freedom. Make up your own mind. We'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Jeff Doughty is my guest. I am NCK.com is his website. Thank you very much, and we'll see you again.